If Facebook were a country, it would be the largest country in the world. In 2015, Facebook became larger than the largest country in the world, which is China. It is huge. It is ubiquitous. Everybody is using it. And with all things that could be good, we have the possibility of making those things evil. And Facebook is no exception. Sin has a way about turning everything on its head, and Facebook could be used redemptively, exclusively, but it is not. And I want to talk about that in this podcast. The title of the podcast is Facebook is the Worldwide Leader in False Intimacy. It is a big problem. I deal with this all the time in counseling. By the way, this is Rick Thomas. Thank you so much for listening to Your Daily Drive. I have the article here. If you want to read it, you can go to rickthomas.net and you can read what I am sharing with you. I would encourage you to give it to a friend, link it on your Facebook page. That would be fantastic. This article is also on Covenant Eyes. I write for them as well, and you can find a lot of my articles at Covenant Eyes. Go there, look for Rick Thomas, and you can read. But we have about 2,000 articles on our website. We have articles on all sorts of issues that pertain to God, life, people, relationships. That's what I do. I've been in the counseling business for over 2 decades now. I'm certified with the International Association of Biblical Counselors. I'm also a fellow with the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, ACBC. And so I have counseled a lot of people, and a lot of my counseling has been in almost all of my counseling, all of my professional life has been part of technology and cyberspace. It really hit us hard in the early aughts, and now Facebook is on point, of course. But there are many other social platforms, and we use these platforms redemptively, and that is the good side of technology. That is the good side of social media. But as I said earlier, we have the ability to take any good thing that's given to us by God's common grace and flipping it on its head and using it for evil. And Facebook is the biggest of them all. It's true. 2015. If it were a country, it would be the largest country in the world. For most of us, it is a good and useful tool, though it's not a surprise how it could be a source of temptation for the dissatisfied soul, the discontented person, the lonely person, the person that has a hard time making real-world relationships. Facebook becomes a portal through which they can go through and use it in a way that really does not spread the fame of God. Let me give you 6 illustrations. These are all true. I've changed the names in this podcast. I wouldn't use real names in a podcast or an article. And so the names are changed, but these illustrations are true. I've counseled these people. Jeremy, he posted his wrong age on his Facebook page. I remember talking to Jeremy, and again, that's not his real name, many years ago. It was a long time ago, back in the early 2000s, and he was in his 40s, and he posted his age as 20-something. Philip, he has no picture of his wife in any of his photos, and I have found this to be true. It's not absolutely true, but it's true in many cases that, especially wives, but also men, I'm using Philip here, but many women, they don't have pictures of their husbands in all of their photographs. And in many cases, that points to marriage problems. You put pictures up of people that you love, people that you adore, and people that you want to be with. And in many instances, dissatisfied marriages, you'll find that the spouse is not part of their Facebook photo collection. And I see this more with women, and they will have their children. They'll have lots of pictures of their children, but you won't see pictures of their husbands. Now, I'm not saying that every Facebook page that doesn't have a spouse in it, and the person's married, of course. I'm not saying they're having marriage problems, but in all the counseling that I've done, I do go on Facebook, and I look for these couples that I'm counseling, and that is a common denominator with so many of them. Jeremy posted his wrong age on his Facebook page. Philip has no picture of his wife in any of his photos. Camille has replaced watching the Oprah show for Facebook. Facebook has supplanted her Oprah watching. Jan has reconnected with two of her old college boyfriends, but did not tell her husband. Wallace has no idea how much time his wife spends on Facebook. And then finally, there's George. He doesn't state his marital status on his page. And again, I've counseled all six of these people. And they are not the only ones that have done this, but these are common themes. These six scenarios, they're more common than you might think. I know people who use Facebook in these ways, and there is no place where Facebook's sinful side is more prominent than in marriages that have not lived up to one or both of the spouse's expectations. Facebook becomes an addiction that way, especially when your marriage is not that great. Facebook is the world leader in false intimacy. It presents itself as relatively safe because it provides a perception of genuine relationships. It does seem better than the other technology silos. You know what a technology silo is? It's where you're in there by yourself. You're insulated from risk and danger, or at least that's the perception, and you're really not associating with other people. Not in a real world way. And so really you're in a technological silo, and Facebook seems better than the other ones, like video gaming, for example, which is wildly popular. But that perception is one of its biggest traps. It provides a dangerous temptation through cyber relationships. Jeremy, the guy I mentioned earlier, he told me the reason he uses a different name and age on his Facebook profile is that he wants people to like him and feels his best shot at being liked is to change his identity. Now, some of you may be put off by that. How could someone be so perverted? But that's what Facebook is about primarily. We put our best foot forward. Maybe you don't lie outright by changing your age or other things about you to present a better person than what you really are, but you do present a better person than who you really are. We all do. We put our best foot forward. Jeremy just happened to be honest with me about it. I mean, he told me. He said, that's why I do it. I want to be liked and people like me. And that, by changing his age, coming across as younger than what he really is, it makes him feel better, and people are drawn to the younger Jeremy. His Facebook name is Al, meaning he doesn't even use his real name. His real age is 43, though he poses as a 23-year-old single college student. Parents, you need to know this as well. Don't be so naive to think that Facebook is an honest world. Jeremy told me, he said that, I don't think I'm a bad person. My wife tells me I'm a bad person all the time. But when I get on Facebook and they like me and I'm engaging and people want to talk to me, of course, the people that are talking to him, they think they're talking to 23-year-old single college student Al. It was all twisted. Jeremy is dead now. He passed away a few years ago, but he never changed. He never got his life straight and really just had a miserable real-life world. And that's why he was tempted to live in cyberspace as much as he could, and he did. He said his real-life relationships were dysfunctional while his Facebook relationships were satisfying. He explained this by saying his real-life relationships do not understand him. and his Facebook friends do. His conclusion is that his real-world friends, that they were at fault. That's how twisted his thinking was. I'm sure you're not surprised by the sinful temptations of social media. Sin is our ever-present adversary, and because sin is part of our lives, bad things do happen everywhere, even in social media. And this is where you do not want to be naive. Do not think that every person that you're talking to on social media is honest. Now, I don't want you to be suspicious or to be cynical. Cynicism and suspicion, those two things, they're not good ways to live, but we need to be discerning. We need to be wise. Facebook provides a somewhat sanitized way to flirt with people in a presumed risk-free way. These kinds of temptations that they used to be the exclusive domain of the business traveler, they have now been brought into our homes free of charge. You don't have to go anywhere. Today, more people have more access to the world than at any time in our history. The angry teenager, the lonely housewife, the dissatisfied line worker, and the overworked engineer, they can travel the world without leaving their homes. These cyber travelers should enjoy this new privilege with caution and conversation. We need to be talking to each other. Let me ask you three questions. One to the parent, one to the wife, one to the husband. Parent, do you have access to your child's Facebook account? I cannot imagine a family, cannot imagine a world where the parents don't have access to the child's Facebook account. Do you? If you don't, that is a problem. It's similar to marriage. Wife, do you have access to your husband's account? Husband, do you know the people your wife is talking to on Facebook while you are away? Do you know what she's doing on Facebook? If these are your relationships, your children, your spouses, you shouldn't have anything to hide. There is no reason to be hiding this kind of activity from the other people in your home. This is not just a privacy matter where, you know, a teenager says, you don't have any right to get into my business. Well, you shouldn't have anything to hide. I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. It has been a remarkable, redemptive tool for my business, this ministry that I have. But because of my business, I have seen the unsavory side of Facebook too. I like to use the dating analogy. Facebook is like a dating relationship. Dating has aspects of artificiality. For those of you who have been married a while, you might have to think back to when you were dating, but there were aspects of artificiality because you didn't know the person you were dating, not ultimately. It had limited intimacy. It had some realism. After the boy and the girl marry, however, and they settle in for the long haul, they can no longer hide their real selves behind dating's limitations. While they were dating, they were able to take breaks from each other. Praise God. I've often said dating is fantastic because you can take breaks from your spouse. It's when the couple, when they get married, they move in with each other. They can't separate. And after a couple of years of cohabitating in marriage with few breaks, they grow weary of each other. The temptation to find satisfying relationships intensifies. Enter Facebook. Facebook becomes the new dating context for the dissatisfied. It provides all the accoutrements of dating without the commitment or expectation of marriage. You do not live with people you socialize with on Facebook, and that is the draw. It is akin to dating. You put your best foot forward for your Facebook friends to accept you. Your cyber friends do not wash your underwear. They don't smell your breath. They don't listen to you snore or listen to you nag. After a while, you begin to think your Facebook friends are better than your real-life friends, and it's when you believe the people on Facebook are different from the people you live with that you get in trouble. Your spouse lives with you. Keep that in mind if you're tempted to cross the lines of inappropriateness when relating to a friend on Facebook. Now, some of you listening to this have no idea what I am saying. And to you, I praise God. May your kind increase. May you be protected from the seamy side of social media. Others of you are facing the sinful prospects of Facebook currently, or you are already involved in inappropriate relationships. To be tempted, or to the tempted, I appeal to you to find help today. Nothing good can come out of cyber flirting. No matter how bad your relationships are, Facebook can be fun, but it is only cyber real, and it should not replace doing authentic life with a real person in your real world. You should use Facebook for the glory of God. I would like for you, as I wrap up this podcast, to think about how you can use Facebook redemptively. How can you put Christ on display through your cyber interactions? How can you promote the gospel through Facebook? The answer to the Facebook dilemma is not necessarily abstinence, unless it has caught you. According to Galatians 6:1, if anyone is caught, you should be restored, and if Facebook has caught you, part of your restoration may be abstinence. If that is the case, the wisest thing for you to do is to cut ties with Facebook. Maybe a Facebook fast is all you need. To help you think about this practically, I have 8 suggestions on how you can make your social media experience more of a redemptive experience. Here are 8 things that I want you to consider, and you can find the full-length article, what I just shared with you, on our website, rickthomas.net. The title of this podcast and article is Facebook is the Worldwide Leader in False Intimacy. Here are the 8 suggestions. Number 1, ask your spouse or friends what they think about your Facebook updates. Now, your spouse and friends probably see your Facebook updates, but it's like a person when their fly is down, you don't say anything to them. Well, maybe you should say something to them. Your friends might not be willing to say anything to you. What about if you go to them and ask them, what do they think about your Facebook updates? Number 2, give your spouse your login information. Lucia has my login information. She has all of my passwords to everything that I have, password to my phone, password to all of my social media, password to my computer. She has all that information. Give your spouse your login info. Number 3, link or share gospel-centered sites with others. That's a great way to use it redemptively. How about if you share rickthomas.net with your friends? Number 4, share quotes that God has used to encourage you. 5, seek to encourage your friends. Do not use Facebook to criticize. Number 6, keep in touch with friends and family members, a great way to use Facebook. Number 7, learn the security settings on Facebook and use them. There are security settings. Learn them, use them. And number 8, guard your heart and your time against the Facebook trap. If you have a problem with Facebook, reach out to us. Let us help you. Let us answer questions. It would be a joy to serve you. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Your Daily Drive is a production of rickthomas.net, a global community that is seeking to live more productive and inspiring lives. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please go to rickthomas.net. rickthomas.net.